I'm excited to introduce our guest tonight, Carolyn Rutledge, who is a professor in Associate Chair, School of Nursing, as well as the director of the Doctor of Nursing Practice Program in the School of Nursing at Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia. ODU is Virginia's entrepreneurial-minded doctoral research university with more than 24,000 students, rigorous academics, an energetic residential community, and initiatives that contribute over $2.6 billion annually to Virginia's economy. Carolyn has been published several times, and I am going to start our interview with some of these publications, where you can find them and which publications she is most proud of. But first, I want to welcome on the phone with us Blue Cirrus Consulting Managing Partner and our show sponsor, Michelle Hager. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Joe. I'm super excited about tonight's show, and I can't wait to speak to Carolyn from ODU. We have previously had Dr. Tina Gustin, her colleague, on our radio show, and that was a fantastic show. And I know Carolyn, we've been trying to get her on the show for some time, but it's hard to get a full professor to come on to the radio. Their time is very precious, and we're honored to have you here today, Carolyn.
Say hello to Carolyn Rutledge, professor at ODU. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, nice to be here.
So welcome to our radio show, 95.9 FM WATD, that has provided some great interviews with healthcare networks and universities locally and across the country. Carolyn, please tell us about all of these publications I found on your website, odu.edu, under Carolyn Rutledge.
You've been busy.
A little bit, especially since COVID hit. I've been involved in telehealth since around 2010, and it's been a lot of time publishing in that area. It's been exciting recently because now I'm getting a lot of contact with people that are reading some of these publications. One of the publications that most recently came out is a textbook that we were writing. It's called Telehealth Essentials for Advanced Practice Nursing. It was published by Slack Incorporated and came out June of this summer. This textbook is one of the only of its kind. It focuses on how do you go about delivering telehealth, as well as how do you go about educating your students in telehealth. I've been in contact with a number of nursing, medical schools, PA schools, so forth across the country that are now using this as a textbook to help their students learn how to incorporate telehealth within the curriculum. Another publication that has brought me a lot of contacts, notoriety, has been a position paper that I wrote for the National Organization of Nurse Practitioner Faculty. This is one of the first one of its kind that has been developed to encourage schools to integrate telehealth within the curriculum. And this has been used as a model for other professions such as medicine, physical therapy. This one, a lot of people have been using it to build their competencies off of the information within this article. Probably the third one that I'm really excited about was published in Advances in Medical Education and Practice. And this one's a little bit of an older article. It came out in 2017. And this one really addresses the components of telehealth education. What types of education should you incorporate? It addresses the fact that we need to have didactic content, which too many programs just stop with didactic. It gets into simulation. It gets into projects that students can participate in, as well as the clinical activities. And what we're finding in healthcare right now is many of our students are not able to get into clinical settings face-to-face, and we're having to figure out how to get them in through telehealth. And that is one of the components that this article addresses, as well as the textbook that we created.
I think that's fantastic. It's great that you're picking up all the different modalities that someone would need in order to be able to conduct a telehealth visit, for example, even if they were not able to get to a clinical setting in order to be able to practice that in person. But the Telehealth Essentials book, is that designed for academics to utilize as a companion for their own programs, or is that designed for someone who might be doing telehealth for the first time or is new to the industry to sort of read and learn more about?
it's utilized for both. And one of the things that I regretted about the time I finished is that I had geared it toward advanced practice nursing, because the content is really geared toward any profession. In fact, we even talk a little bit about interprofessional. How do you work collaboratively through telehealth with other professions? I am being contacted by a number of people that are utilizing it to help set up their practice. They're utilizing it to train both graduate and undergraduate students, as well as, like I mentioned before, other professions.
Some of the keys to the way that ODU develops their telehealth program for nursing is that interdisciplinary approach. I know we'll talk about that in a minute, but I know Joe has another question for you.
Yes, thank you. And as a professor at the ODU School of Nursing, how has it been adjusting your educational program during COVID? Are you guys working remotely?
Well, I have been fortunate because the programs that I teach, and I'm over all of the graduate programs in nursing, and we have 10 master's program and 3 doctoral programs. And all except our anesthesia program is set up as a hybrid program. So we teach a lot of the content at a distance and then bring them onto campus periodically. So I was primed to keep rolling when COVID hit. The biggest difference has been the times that we would bring the students on campus to learn how to do standardized patient encounters, clinical skills, and so forth. We have modified that to be able to do it virtually using video conferencing, using some of the peripherals, but really adapting the way that we have done things previously. With the doctoral students, they unfortunately were not able to come to campus to graduate or to present their final projects, but they actually did that virtually as well. And it went off quite well, to the point that we are wondering if we should continue bringing them on campus or keep delivering it through a virtual modality.
That's interesting. So many people are learning different ways to do things because of the pressures that have occurred during COVID. In some ways, it's a silver lining that we've found that maybe we shouldn't go back to the original way that we did things. And maybe doing this online is an option. For your programs that you are teaching and that people may be interested in, because we have listeners from all over the country to this show, is someone from South Carolina or Texas, or are they able to take the courses that you're offering specifically in telehealth, or are you offering those across the country? Can they take them online?
One of the things we have to look at, especially in some of our master's programs, is whether they come from compact states, because we have to work with the various states to make sure the students we graduate will be able to be licensed there when they finish.
And Carolyn, you're referencing, just for our listeners, the Nursing Compact, which allows for nursing licensure to be done across state lines. If you're licensed in one state, then you'll be licensed in other states. That's what you're referencing, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Our doctoral program, I have people from Oregon, from Texas, from Arizona, from California, from all over the country come into that. In fact, I've had cohorts say that they would rather come across the country to our program than maybe go to some in their backyard, because we really do focus on putting students in small groups with advisors in the doctoral program. And we're very, very innovative. Our program has had telehealth in it from day one. We started our program, we were one of the first 20 in the country to be accredited as a doctoral program. And right off the bat, we added telehealth, we added innovation to the curriculum, because our belief for our DNP students are they are the future of healthcare. They are our advocates, our change agents. We have two that sit in Richmond, one Republican, one Democrat, you know, making decisions for healthcare in the state. So we really promote thinking outside the box, being a difference thinker. And these students that had come from across the country were saying, we are amazed by the different types of education that you offer and how you look at healthcare so broadly. And in a way that we're poised for the positions that are coming. In fact, several of our students have been able to beat out seasoned students in getting jobs because of their experience in telehealth.
Really good point, really good point. That leads direct into the next question, Joe. I know you've been at one to ask this one.
Yes, what is ODU doing to answer the clinical need of the population with access to physicians that are at short supply? What are you doing to incorporate the multidisciplinary clinician approach?
Well, there's several things. One, and you have to realize I am a family nurse practitioner. I've worked in a medical school as a clinician for 32 years. And as nurse practitioners, we bring a lot to the table, and especially when it comes to the rural and underserved areas. Probably back in 2010, I was writing a grant for HRSA. I kept shaking my head. This doesn't make sense because the focus is in rural and underserved areas, but interprofessional collaboration. But a lot of times the nurse practitioner is the only provider in these regions. And so I incorporated telehealth in it. And that was before they really started writing telehealth into a lot of the grants. And we have had telehealth as part of it since then. Of course, with interprofessional, we're bringing in our medical students. We've brought in for probably the last 5-6 years, every medical student, 144 each year from the fourth year medical school class. We bring in all of the physical therapy students, the athletic trainers, the dental hygiene. We have 11 professions from 4 different schools that come together. But a huge part of this is around telehealth education. How can you work at a distance and collaborate? And so that has really been a huge focus for us, and a focus that we haven't seen in a lot of places. I think a lot of times with interprofessional collaboration, people feel like they can put them in the same room and that's collaboration, but it's not. It's silos that happen to be in the same room. And we have worked very hard in having the students work across each profession and understand how to utilize each other, especially with telehealth as the mechanism for connecting.
It's so important, this topic that you bring up, because first of all, the nurse practitioners being really the primary care providers in these rural and underserved areas. And this is a story across the country. People might think that, oh, the area isn't rural. I mean, Joe's area where he is outside of Boston, you might not define that as a rural area, but believe me, as you get further and further away from the city, it doesn't make a difference if you can't get to the clinician because you don't have a car or you don't have the, you know, access that you need, then that person is far away from you. And certainly for us, where I am in South Carolina, our barrier islands where our Gullah population are extremely underserved, nurse practitioners are the only clinical providers in those areas. And many times doctors have to oversee a nurse practitioner. However, in these far-flung areas, there might not be a physician in order to oversee them in many states. So having them be really that only clinician, you know, and starting to foster this thought of interdisciplinary thinking is not only helpful to the nurse practitioner or the nurses that may be working with a physician, but also for other ancillary clinicians that are working with in taking care of patients. And I know pharmacists have had the same discussion that they want to be closer into that patient care. They're the experts on pharmacological treatments and they can provide collaboration. That's true for your psychologist. I know that your program and integrating mental health into your program is very important and has done great work. So this is an important point that I hope our listeners heard from you, because it's a key part of the interdisciplinary education that ODU delivers. And my question back to you about that is, how do we encourage other universities that may be more medical school centric to adopt this interdisciplinary approach? Because medical schools can be so overtaxed. That's a comment, right? The residents are already overtaxed. We can't add additional stuff. So how do we get them to embrace this idea of the multidisciplinary approach?
Well, for programs to be accredited, there's also beginning to be a push toward telehealth as part of it. I've been on faculty at the local medical school for 32 years. I'm full professor there as well, and have developed a lot of the medical school curriculum. When COVID hit, they contacted me about preparing the school for this epidemic. And I was given 2 weeks to set up a clerkship, and the clerkship incorporated 147 third year medical students. And the way we set it up, it was very exciting. They had 10 different specialty areas at the medical school, like OB, mental health. They had an underserved clinic, pediatric acute, pediatric chronic. So 10 different areas. And they gave me 2 faculty physician providers from each site. And so I paired the 2 providers from each site with like 10 of the students. And their goal as they went through our emergent experience, it's a 2-week emergent experience, which is now our certification program. As they went through, they were developing all the components they needed to have the telehealth program ready to go in 2 weeks. They were developing protocols. They were developing consent. They were selecting equipment. They were practicing delivering telehealth when you can't have some of the peripherals, because with COVID, you couldn't get the peripherals out to the patient. So you had to learn how to assess the patient with using supplies that were in the house, items that were within the home, family members. And so we incorporated all of that into the curriculum. So after 2 weeks, they had these 10 different specialty areas set up. The physician faculty trained, and then the students trained, and they knew how the students had been trained so that they could automatically move the students into the clinical setting. This will continue. This sort of was a spinoff from our program previously, where the medical students were working with us in some face-to-face encounters. And so now they will be going through our certification program every year. We had run 2 more certification programs. And the thing that's been exciting about the program is we have opened it up to faculty across the country. And this past one had students that were in a nurse residency program in Hawaii plus faculty. So we had Hawaii, we had California, we had Chicago. Right. So they were from everywhere participating in this whole interprofessional. And they are now sending their colleagues from mental health and other professions to us as well.
That's fantastic. I wanted to ask you one more question before I passed it back to Joe, but I know that there are some key pieces of education that ODU and in particular your department have been integral in developing. And these are questions that we get sometimes from clinicians of how am I supposed to do a physical exam for a patient without actually being in the same room with them? And how can I do that via telehealth? And I know you've developed some pretty detailed videos related to that and other topics. Can you share with our listeners some of the detail related to that?
When we realized that we needed to develop this program for the medical students and realized we couldn't get the peripherals out, we set up that demonstrated how you could do a physical exam without touching a patient. And these videos were things like a skin exam, ENT exam, cardiopulmonary. And so it takes you through the whole scenario from gathering the history to actually collecting the data. And it utilizes like the patient's iPhone. How do you look into the throat? You have them look into the camera and use that iPhone. And it's amazing how well you can see the back of the throat. And so these videos are set up to help people understand that they can actually do a physical exam without touching the patient. And it has really surprised us how popular these videos are. In fact, the one that's on skin in the last 2 months They're all open access. They're all found on YouTube under ODU telehealth videos. But we have had over 12,000 hits in 2 months just on the skin exam. I even have had insurance companies contact me asking if they could have access to these videos to send them out to their physician and primary care providers to help them continue.
That's amazing. Thank you, Carolyn, for explaining those changes that you had to make on the fly. So my last question is, how are you adjusting your programs in the future to meet the needs of the next generation of clinicians?
Well, with this, like I mentioned, we've gotten the certification program going. We required all of our master's and doctoral students to go through the program and become certified. And like physical therapy and the medical school, all of them did the same thing. It became a requirement. And we also required all of our faculty to become certified. And so this is now going to be a constant part of the curriculum. I just finished the syllabus yesterday to add a one credit course that will be open to other departments within the university interested in working collaboratively on telehealth. And so that aspect is going to continue. We're also working with the Virginia Modeling and Simulation Center developing telehealth materials, like we're working on a robot. We're working on some AI type stuff. So we're also creating, as well as, you know, doing the teaching and helping providers set up programs. So we will continue along that line.
There's some innovative work there. I know if people are interested in that, there's some information on the website, but the work that you all are doing in the Innovation Center there to be able to develop these new technologies for providing care in new and different ways, like the robot. I know you all are very proud of that, and you should be. There's a lot of great work being done for patients and helping them cope with illnesses and also to help treat them. So it's great.
Yeah, thank you so much. Folks interested in Old Dominion University and looking for extensive information and resources can find it on the ODU website at odu.edu, which includes comprehensive pages to help find information about their academics, admission, university life, research and entrepreneurship, athletics, and more. Carolyn and Michelle, I appreciate your time to join our show tonight. I look forward to hearing more on how this year turns out for you, Carolyn, and we'd be happy to post any of your upcoming publications on our WATD website. I'd love to have you back in a few months and follow up, so please stay healthy and safe.
Thank you, Joe.
Carolyn, I'm personally glad you were here to have another Southerner and another Southern accent on the show. So thank you.
Thank you so much. This is WATD Radio 95.9 FM.